January 25th meeting order. Approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker, anything?
Yes, I do have several recommendations to amend the agenda. First, we do not have approval, we do not need approval of the minutes.
Okay.
The Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility Change Order. Again, we are waiting for some information back from the contractor, and they are, I talked to the county engineer this morning about it, and he does believe that we should have a definite answer on this for next Tuesday. So they're working to have a response back from the contractor. They're waiting for a response, but they expect it back by this Thursday, so we'll try to put that back on for next week. And then under executive session, we do not need personnel or land acquisition.
Anything else from council? Not entertain a motion to accept the amended agenda.
We got it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Mr. Moore, correspondence.
Yes, Mr. President, we have several matters, several letters we received. The first one is from Fred Sears, President and CEO of the Delaware Community Foundation, and it is a letter thanking Sussex County Council for its recent $5,000 contribution to the Sussex Child Health Promotion Coalition operating fund at the Delaware Community Foundation. Next is from Calvary United Methodist Church. On behalf of the many volunteers of Calvary Cafe and Community Clothing Closet, I would like to thank the Sussex County Council again for approving our human service grant. Your grant funding will greatly help our feeding and clothing ministry. The next item's from Junior Achievement of Delaware, Inc. Thank you for your recent contribution of $1,000 to support the work of Junior Achievement in all three counties in Delaware and Salem and Cecil counties in neighboring New Jersey and Maryland. The next is from the YMCA. You've strengthened our community. Your gift of $1,000 will be used to open doors for those in need at the Sussex Family YMCA. We believe that our communities, for our communities to succeed, everyone must be given the opportunity to be healthy, confident, connected, and secure. Your gift helps us make that possible. And the last letter is from DAPE. Thanks for your generous gift of $1,000. DAPE will continue to work with another school year of pregnant and parenting teens. While state funding is shrinking, DAPE continues to do its job of ensuring that every pregnant teen has the opportunity to finish school and be successful. We were able to keep that commitment because of you and your compassionate support of our work. And those are the letters.
Council, anything?
Nope.
Mr. Baker.
Yes, thank you. The first item is the Sussex County's paramedic service, and the county's paramedic program hit a milestone when it turned 20 years old this month. The program began in 1991 with borrowed vehicles and limited staff. Since then, thousands of Sussex Countyans have been treated and lives have been saved. Thanks to our dedicated staff and collaboration with the fire service, who of course provides basic life services. Responses by paramedics have risen by 70, which in 1993, we had responded to 7,600 calls to now over 18,000 per year. Paramedic expenditures have risen from $2.3 million in 1992 to $12 million this year per year, while state contributions have decreased from 60% to 30%. County government taxpayers now contribute approximately $8.4 million per year for this very important service. The benefits are many. The county council regularly hears thanks from residents who have benefited from the program. The paramedic department strives to keep up to date with the latest technology and training, and they have received various rewards and awards and recognition for their service and have placed amongst the very best in various competitions. We have a proclamation. I'd like to invite Mr. Stewart up. He has with his staff there also. I'll go ahead, while he's coming up, I'll go ahead and read the proclamation. Proclamation to honor Sussex County Emergency Medical Services upon its 20th anniversary. Whereas the Sussex County Council wishes to recognize the Sussex County Emergency Medical Services for 20 outstanding years of operation. And whereas Sussex County EMS was established on January 15, 1991, to provide state-of-the-art life-saving paramedic services to the citizens of Sussex County. And whereas Sussex County EMS began with a single paramedic unit and 12 members that has since evolved into an 8-unit, 107-member force. And whereas the county EMS is consistently among the first EMS programs in Delaware and the United States to introduce advances in procedures and equipment designed to ensure the quality of care it provides is the finest in the country. And whereas Sussex County EMS has earned the trust and respect of the local healthcare community and volunteer fire service. And whereas the county EMS has for 20 years and will surely continue to do in years ahead, consistently lived up to its promise as an organization of caring people, quality service. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council commends the Sussex County Emergency Medical Services for its 20 years of service to the people of Sussex County and proclaims Tuesday, January 25th as a day for all Sussex County residents to honor the EMS program and the dedicated professionals who serve within.
Stewart, you're up.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Robert Stewart. I'm the director of Sussex County EMS. I have with me operations manager Robbie Murray, special operations coordinator Eric Kubman. We found him.
Mm-hmm.
And division manager, technical service division manager Bobby Schoonover. Good morning. It's a privilege to be here. It's an honor and privilege to be with you today to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Sussex County Emergency Medical Services. 20 years ago, on Saturday, January 15th, 1991, then County Council President Dale Dukes and then County Administrator Bob Stickles, by his side, announced Medic 41 in service. And Sussex County EMS was born. The vision and leadership of many individuals, including people like Bill Stevenson, Bill Gordy, Bruce Ennis, Cliff Lee, our own Mike Vincent, Sherman Jones, Walton Johnson, and countless others, coupled with the dedication of our first director, Bill Stevenson, his secretary, Muriel, and the original 10 medics, created a service that prides itself in its commitment to excellence. Those who have followed have clearly honored that tradition and perpetuated the reputation of Sussex County EMS as a model service to which others aspire. Sussex County's paramedic service was born as a one-unit, 12-person operation that has grown to become an 8-unit, 107-person department today. From our humble beginnings at Sussex County Paramedic Services, in a small brick building known as the Old Gosley Insurance Building, which was located behind this building, it's now part of the county administration building. We have moved several times over the years. And for those of you who might remember, some of those moves were not always for the better. Today, we have 9 stations, our own EMS maintenance garage, a nice logistics facility at Cinderbury, and a decent headquarters in the Sussex County West Annex facility. 2 decades of service have resulted in remarkable, enviable growth of our service, and not just in terms of numbers, as there were some growing pains. The early days were fraught with many issues, and our survival and growth did not just happen by chance. There was extreme skepticism by some in the fire service, and others who doubted the benefits of paramedics. And in fact, some companies actually ran from the paramedics. Today, I can say that we are asked for more often than we are run from, and that's no longer, hopefully, an issue. That skepticism was also felt in the hospitals, as some ED physicians and nurses had mixed feelings about what paramedics should be allowed to do in the field. And today, that skepticism has been replaced with a collaborative, harmonious relationship built on the trust and respect earned by the paramedics over the past 20 years. Nothing, however, can compare with the loss of paramedics Don Dempsey in 1996, Brian Eskridge in 2004, and Stephanie Calloway's line of duty death in 2008. What brought us to where we are today is the commitment and dedication of many people, politicians, physicians, nurses, fire chiefs, and others who believe that we can make a difference. Today, Sussex County EMS is an integral part of the healthcare system, and the paramedics who, through their hard work and study, have earned the trust and respect of the fire and medical communities, and hopefully politicians. We are where we are today because of those who were here yesterday. We will be where we are tomorrow because of not only those who were there yesterday, but those who have joined our service over the past 2 decades. The paramedic of the 21st century, like those who have come before, will need to be knowledgeable, skilled, resourceful, innovative, and like most of us who have been around for a while, hopefully have an active and somewhat bizarre sense of humor. As we move further into the next decade, I believe that Sussex County EMS will continue to be the examples that others who want to excel at EMS will follow. I am extremely proud to be a part of our past, our present, our future, our tradition, and pledge to do my best to help make our EMS system even better as we move into our third decade of service. As our system ages and matures, we will continue to attract good people, great paramedics, and continue to be the envy of other EMS organizations and agencies. Happy anniversary, Sussex County EMS, and a special thanks to the people of Sussex County, the current Sussex County Council, and past members of Sussex County Council, the founding members, George Collins, William Stevenson Sr., Ralph Benson, Dale Dukes, George Cole, and before them, Oliver Hill, all served, and all that have served since our inception, are owed a debt of gratitude for providing us the opportunity to do what we do best, and that is help people on the worst days of their lives. They believed in us and our system and provided unwavering support over the past 20 years. Without your support, we would not be here today. Congratulations to all of you who were there that fateful day 20 years ago. And congratulations to all who have joined the SCEMS family over the past 20 years and helped us to become one of the best EMS organizations in the state, the region, and the world. Our system, our supporters, our people are the best of the best, and our system performance reflects their efforts and commitment to excellence. I am confident that Sussex County EMS will always be one of the best EMS organizations anywhere, and hopefully even better 20 years from now. Thank you.
Proclamation for you, but the picture, I'm sure, as you turn around here, smile, look pretty. And, well, some of you. Thank you very much for what you do. Obviously, we get a lot of compliments from your service. The public appreciates what you do. The county appreciates what you do. It's a great service. I do think it's one of the best in the nation. No question about that. You got good people who do a good job. We're happy to support you. And thank you for everything you do. Thank all your people. Please. Thanks, Robbie.
On that fateful day 20 years ago, there were three of us who were here that day. Mr. Cole, myself, I was one of the students, and we were invited to come
to the was here.
Opening ceremony. And I remind that on that day, we had an ambulance sitting there ready to go. However, it wasn't really ready to go. It wouldn't start. but we knew it, and Mr. Stevenson had a backup plan. That was he slapped a couple of magnetic decals on the side of his Bronco, and they responded to the first call for paramedic service. We got called during the ceremony in his Bronco. And it was really a rough couple of years. But also, Frank Shea was here. He was one of the original members of the paramedic service, the 10, we called them the golden 10 back then. So I just wanted to recognize Frank.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
And thank you again for allowing us the opportunity to be here today and to continue to do our job.
We appreciate all you do. Thank you. Mr. Baker.
Next is the county administrator's report. First, Delaware Solid Waste Authority, as per the attached letters from the Delaware Solid Waste Authority, a total of 62,000 pounds of recycled material was received during the quarter ending December 31 at the West Complex parking lot. County Prescription Drug Discount Card Program attached is a report from the National Association of Counties regarding the Sussex County Prescription Drug Discount Card Program. As per the report, a total of 324 individuals used the card during December. The average price savings was $28.89. Or percent, equating to a savings of $17,167 saved by users of the card. Attached is information regarding the card, which is free and available to be used by anyone as long as it is not combined with another drug card. Airport Advisory Committee agenda, as per the attached notice, the Sussex County Airport Advisory Committee will be meeting on January 26 at 7 p.m. at the EOC. Number of issues are on the agenda to be discussed, including emergency response, bylaw changes, airport update, and review of proposed airport policies. We wish to thank the members of the committee for their public service assisting the county with these issues. Manufactured Housing Committee, January 26. The Sussex County Manufactured Housing Committee will be meeting on January 26 in this chamber here at 10 a.m. Attached is a copy of the agenda that includes discussion of previous ordinances, administrative variances, and other issues. Pension Committee meeting, January 27th. The County Council Pension Committee will meet on January 27th at 1:30 here in the Council Chambers. There will be discussion regarding investments, financial advisor options for service, membership, and ordinances. Delaware Department of Natural Resources, Environmental Control, notice of intent. Attached is a draft schedule of projects for a proposed notice of intent list to be submitted to DENREC. The Clean Water Advisory Council requests this list annually from each government interested in constructing wastewater infrastructure. This list represents a rough plan for the near future regarding various projects to be tackled. Of course, expenditures for each project must be approved by the Sussex County Council before any work is done on any particular project. Some of these projects require public hearings and public meetings prior to Sussex County Council approval. Basically, this is a list of projects to give the Wastewater Council an idea of what is expected in the relatively near future in terms of requests for funding. Next is substantial completion. The Engineering Department granted substantial completion to Barrington Park, Agreement 733-1 on January 19th. Developer is Tire Farm LLC, and the project is located at southwest corner of Road 353 and Road 352 in the Millfield expansion of the Bethany Sewer District, consisting of 49 single-family lots, and included is a fact sheet on the project. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, Mr. Baker? Mrs. Webb.
Thank you. First thing today is the reallocation of private activity volume cap that we receive annually from the state. The state has sent the request for private activity volume cap reassignment back to them. They are asking if any portion or of the total $27,380,000 in 2010 volume cap assigned to the county can be reassigned back to the state for reallocation. During 2010, the county did not have any projects apply for this volume cap. And just for a note, for this fiscal year, anybody, or that calendar year, we had the recovery zone facility bonds going on, so anybody that did apply for any sort of projects were geared towards that, of which we did have the one big one, NRG. If council agrees, we would reassign this allocation back to the state. We will be notified of the 2010 allocation in early February, and it will be 10% of the total Delaware allowance. And we typically do this every year where we are not using the volume cap. And I have a motion if there's not any questions.
Any questions, Mrs. Webb?
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve reassigning its 2010 private activity volume cap of $27,380,000 to the state of Delaware.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any questions on the motion? I will take the vote. Mr. Beaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. Okay, on to the good stuff. In your packet, you received the unaudited revenue and expense report for the 6 months ending December 31st, 2010, basically half the year, and I'll go through some of the most important things on this. Realty transfer. We prorated it based on the last 12 months, not really based on the 12 months in the budget year, as different months bring in different revenue. And it is has a small increase we are projecting for the end of the year and as of June 30th. If you'll see down under services, some of the more sensitive real estate-related revenues, the fire service, building permit, and building inspections are all right on line with the budget. On track, down to the constitutional offices on their percentages. The clerk of peace and register wills are up some. They're probably two of the hardest offices to predict on revenue. I've seen them sway both ways many different in different years, but it's good that they're increased. And then down on the miscellaneous, there's a large percentage that might have caught your eye, the 194%. That does represent the industrial revenue fees that we received from the NRG. Right. So that just helps our budget. Taking it on down to the end of total revenues, we've collected 2.4% more than where we're budgeted at that point in time. On to the expenses. If you look down to the total expenditures, very close. We're right on target with our budget. and we have spent 0.46% less than what's anticipated at that point in time for the budget. And that leaves us with a small excess of revenues over expenditures of $671,000 for the 6 months. Right now projected, very conservative, going into the next 6 months of the year and taking that into the budget as we start to work on the budget. The last page is just the capital improvements, just so you see when you look at this what we have spent on capital improvement expenditures, our larger projects. We've never really talked about this, but this is good to see, where you see total capital expenditures of $434,000, and that just gives you an idea of what we've spent on the larger projects, be it on the airport or the parking lot improvements that we've done or anything else.
Any questions, Mrs. Webb? Thank you very much. Yeah. Mr. Rizzo.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a handout too. With the elimination of the Inland Bay item, I have just one item on my agenda this morning. It's in reference to a feasibility study for the Greenwood Library. If you recall, several weeks ago, I appeared before the county council, and at that point, we selected Davis, Bowen, and Friedel to be our architect for the proposed project. Just a little history about the Greenwood Library. We originally executed a lease with the town of Greenwood back in 1997. Strangely, that particular lease only covered the footprint of the building, which at that point was 3,000 square feet, and that's about what it is today. We came back in 2009, and a new lease was executed for the entire lot that the building was located on. Again, this is property owned by the town of Greenwood. We work with the Greenwood Town Council. And the thought process would be that we would be working towards a building in the 10,000 square foot range. And that 10,000 square foot number is significant because that would be the minimum size that you would have to construct to be eligible for state funding. Carol Fitzgerald, who is the county librarian, I don't see Carol here today. I thought she was going to be here. Nonetheless, Carol has submitted a grant application to the state. And in that grant application state, it was looking at a project in the $3 million range. And if that was the case, then the state would provide a $1.5 million grant. And then the Friends of the Greenwood Library, who are represented here today, and I don't know if they want to say anything, as well as the library staff, the county would be responsible for a 50% match working with the Friends of the Greenwood Library. Carol informed Mr. Baker and myself the other day that the Friends are committing to a number of $150,000. And you can ask them, perhaps get them to confirm that number today. One of the issues as far as the Greenwood Library, and that's why I gave you the handout. If you look at the top sheet, that kind of roughly shows the existing layout of the facility. There's a large parking area, and you see the existing library, which is, again, about 3,000 square feet. There's an old train station as well, and that actually is owned by the town of Greenwood, and they lease that property. And that one of the conditions of the lease extension was that that site would always be provided access and would remain as it is. If you look at the second sheet, when we did our interviews with the various consultants, we interviewed five different architecture firms. We kind of gave them a little project to work on rather than just kind of listen to their commercial about how great they are. We said, actually get them to do something. And Davis, Bowen, and Friedel put together this picture, and you can kind of see the existing library, and you can see an extension of the existing facility. And that's one of the things that kind of needs to be resolved. Is the project best serviced by maintaining the existing structure and expanding another 7,000 square feet to bring it to 10,000 square feet, or are we better to start from scratch, either demolish or move the existing building and build a new 10,000 square foot library. If you look at the way they've drawn it on the picture, the 10,000 square feet consist of a two-story extension. And talking to the library staff, that's not a layout that they prefer because it makes it harder for them to control the public. They basically have to be able to monitor two floors. So one of the things that we would also want to take a look at is it possible that there could be a 10,000 square foot facility that's all one story constructed on the site? And this is all leading to me sitting down with Davis Bowen and Friedel. And rather than coming to you with a design contract that would anticipate, a particular design, what they proposed was to come back to the county council, do a feasibility study. They gave us a price of $15,900, which actually would include some preliminary design, but also would look at all these particular alternatives and then come back to the county council and say, okay, we've looked at three or four different scenarios. This is the one that we think is most cost effective and best fits the site. And then we would execute the design contract and move forward with the design. One of the things that the state has informed us was if we could get a bid in hand in June, that would better facilitate getting the remainder of the grant being let. This year, the grant, there's a grant of $500,000. Which would, for the purpose of preliminary, for the design process. Now, we're not anticipating that much for a design, but we would need additional funds, the additional $1 million being allocated in the state budget for next year if we were going to move straight to construction. So that all comes back to the discussion of the proposed feasibility study with Davis, Bowen, and Friedel for $15,900.
Questions of Mr. Izzo?
No. Okay. We hope, I guess you'll be reporting back with.
Yeah, we'll come back when we have a selected alternative and a design proposal.
We have a motion.
I'm looking for it as I've got too many papers today. Okay, be it moved based upon the recommendation of the engineering department that a contract amendment number one with Davis Bowen and Friedel be approved in the amount of $15,927 to complete a feasibility study and initiate preliminary design for the Greenwood Public Library.
So moved.
A motion?
Mm-hmm. I make a motion.
And that study is just to find out if we need a library. Is that what you're saying? Size
no.
Library we need?
No, we're.
It's no architect design or nothing in that price, right?
Yes. It's all work by the architect. You're going to look at three or four different scenarios, as I discussed. Do we want to pick up the existing library and move it?
I understood that, but I just wondered if it's how far we're going to go with this. I mean, how much do we get for $50,000?
We're also going to do a lot, locate everything that's existing on site. One of the problems with dealing with this site is that there is existing pump station, a wastewater pump station, and there's a force main that transects the site in some form or fashion. And we need to locate that force main, for example, and because that will limit where, how a building layout could be. There's also an existing storm sewer. We also have to investigate the impacts of the railroad and setbacks from the railroad right away, things of that nature. So we are going to move forward with some slight design, but most of it's going to be the schematic work and also how to lay out the rooms. If we are going to go from 3,000 square feet to 10,000 square feet, well, we need input from the public, the friends, the library staff. How big do you make the teen room? How big do you make the children's area? Is there a meeting room needed? So we'll look at those type of things as well.
Okay.
Could I ask you, excuse me, if you come with just 1 second, Sam. I have a motion.
Motion.
There's no second.
Mm-hmm.
Second.
Have a second. Okay, now we'll go in.
Okay. Almost forgot my. Now, this 10,000 feet, you said we had what, 3,000?
3,000 existing.
At least at the time.
Correct.
All right, so we're going to lease 10,000. Is that an extra cost? The town wants more money, or what? How's that going to go?
We have a lease with the town of Greenwood. I've got the information here. Runs to about 2025, and we pay about $10 a year. And then we have the ability to extend it for another 25 years.
At the same cost, you're saying?
That's correct.
Okay. Just one. I bet they won the library.
Any more questions, Ms. Rizzo? Mr. Phillips?
Is there any financial component in this study that's going to talk about?
Correct. We'll have cost estimates for the different scenarios.
How about with respect, and I doubt it is, operations? What is going to be the additional operational cost of
as far as utilities and things of that nature and staff? I believe we could work that in. I mean, those costs will probably be relatively consistent for all the alternatives, but we can provide the operations and maintenance cost. I don't think too many of the alternatives you're going to see are varied in the electric costs, for example.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to see too much change in the staffing size. But it is an extra cost, obviously, if you have a 3,000-square-foot building. Now you're going to have a 10,000-square-foot building. Obviously, those costs are going to go up. So, yeah, we can estimate those costs as well.
Thank you. Any more questions, Ms. Rizzo? I will call for the vote, Ms. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Would anyone from the library like to speak for a minute or two, or come on down if you want to, please? Good morning.
Good morning. I have a letter that I've been asked to read by one of our patrons.
Certainly.
He wasn't able to be here today. To the honorable members of the Sussex County Council, I cannot attend the meeting today because of a commitment at my job, but please allow this letter to be entered into the record. Every Thursday night for the past 2 years, I have been volunteering at the Greenwood Library, helping children learn to read. As a relative outsider, allow me to tell you all what I see at that library. First, I see people using the resources of the library to get back on their feet. People use the internet to search for jobs, they use books to write resumes, and they send emails to prospective employers. In their attempt to re-enter the workforce and once more be productive members of our community, these people rely on the library. Second, I see students from 2nd to 12th grade come to the library because it is a safe, warm, and healthy environment. Sadly, for many children, the library is one of the few safe places for them to go after school is over. All they ask is a quiet and safe place to sit and do homework or just read a book. Third, I see the heart of an entire community. The Greenwood Library is often full of people, shoulder to shoulder, as they use the many resources available to them. The building and the people there are the lifeblood of the community. One evening, I saw a 3-year-old girl ask the librarian if they had any books about princesses. An older man scheduled a time to have someone help him with his taxes. At the computer terminals, a student was researching Lafayette, while a mother who homeschools her children was checking out a large pile of children's books. One lady was researching how to write a business plan. Because the Greenwood Library is more than just a place to check out books, because hundreds of people pass through its doors every day, because we all want our residents to find new jobs, because not everyone can afford luxuries like internet or purchasing books, I humbly ask that you approve the feasibility study for the expansion of the library. Please feel free to contact me directly if you have any questions. Sincerely, Jim Westhoff. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You can give that to down the end there to our clerk.
Mm-hmm. All the way down, yeah.
All the way down.
The one hiding behind that screen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Also, I was remiss. I didn't see Mr. Wigley come in. This is Michael Wigley from Davis, Bowen & Friedel, who's going to be the lead architect on the project.
Mm-hmm. Morning. Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Mr. Ashman.
Good
Yep.
Oops, that's all right.
Hey, you lost my vote.
Didn't mean to tell you.
Good morning. My item on the agenda today is in regards to the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District. On February 12, 2008, County Council approved the Byard expansion of the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District. At the time of that public hearing, there were requests from residents of the Oak Acres and Tanglewood subdivisions to be included in the expansion at that time. It was our task given to us by County Council to send a polling letter to these residents and find out the actual interest of these two communities and whether we wanted to include them at the time. We sent out 83 letters. Out of those 83, we received 53 back, 51 in favor of being included at the time, 2 opposed. Some of those residents questioned the rates that would be included to them as part of this expansion. We informed them that we were unable to quote rates as there was really no specific boundary at that time. It was still subject to change by County Council. We amended our proposed boundary, and that was approved by Council on the 12th. The driving force behind this expansion was a project known as the Estuary. This project was largely responsible for a lot of the regional infrastructure that would serve these two communities. And due to the recent economy, this estuary project has failed to move forward at the pace that we were hoping. The engineering department would like to present an option to council today for service of those areas, as we are aware of failing septic systems in that area. Our consultants, Whitman Record Association, have prepared a draft PER and EA, along with some proposed infrastructure to serve these two communities. And that's what we have on the board here. We have the interest from Tanglewood, and this is actually New Marydale Road. These are the also people that were polled, and this is the area of Oak Acres. Our proposal at this time is a gravity collection system for both communities, some grinder pumps in an area of Oak Acres that are a little hard to serve by gravity, a small pump station here, which could be upgradable for regional, and a force main around Camp Barnes Road up to a second pump station, which will then tie into existing force mains from pump station 30. We have some remaining grant money left from the Miller Creek project, which would assist in the cost of this project. And I'd like to point out that at the time of the expansion, Mr. Cole questioned us at the public hearing for the expansion as to what would happen in the event that the estuary project did not move forward. And at that time, Mr. Izzo stated that we could possibly use that remaining grant money to at least put in dry gravity system. But we feel that, you know, we'd be better off to serve this community by the pump stations and actually get service to them versus putting in just the dry gravity sewer system. The reason basically I am here today is because of the lapse in time from that public hearing on the boundary expansion, the engineering department would like to propose a public meeting to these two communities and the residents that would be affected, basically to discuss the impact due to construction. And we hope to disclose rates at that time of the public hearing as to what it would cost the homeowners.
It appears from just looking at it, it's going to be expensive.
Do you have the number in front of you as far as the construction cost? I do if you do not.
Yeah.
It does seem like a lot of people, and it looks like a lot of area. And if you've ever been back there, some of the other councilmen, it is such a remote area. You're back to the big wildlife area. There's not much out there. There's probably not much potential for development for years to come.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and how many failing septic systems are there? I mean, these people are going to find it. I think that it's going to be cheaper to fix their failing systems.
Apparently in the Oak Acres, there are quite a few failing systems. We do not have an exact number at this time. A lot of people will not disclose that they have a failing system if they do.
Of course.
The other reason that we're looking at this project is, like I said, this pump station here could be enlarged to a regional system. We have a petition for a large amount of people down this road, just about every existing resident.
Well, the soils are so bad down there. It's just horrible, right?
And I think the rough draft numbers we looked at for this,
it's high. I don't have particular ones, but we do have that leftover Miller Creek grant money that we need to use timely because Miller Creek's done. The other thing is we're in now without any benefits of stimulus package with reduced rates. Grants that both RD and SRF were receiving put through, which many of our projects, the large projects we were doing a year ago, received benefit of that funding. So almost like back to the real world. The preliminary ones are high. It's high.
We had estimated cost of over $2 million. However, there is a grant that's outstanding from the Miller Creek project for $1.5 million, and then a separate grant offer from the State Wastewater Advisory Council. So we don't have the final rate numbers, and we could
thank you very much.
Possibly bring that back to the council before the public meeting if you'd like. There is some very attractive funding available for the project.
There's no way that, I know how government works sometimes. There's money there, and if we don't use it, we lose it type of thing. So sometimes when you use it, you don't use it really, effectively, I don't think, or get the most bang for the buck. It's just like you just go to use it. But if we let the grant money go back into the revolving fund, wouldn't that be helpful then when we have bigger projects that would benefit, larger numbers of people and stuff? It seems like a lot of money to be putting towards these few users. And again, if you ride out there, this area should have never been included in a sewer district. It should never be an area that's encouraging development. It has got such bad soils, and it's relatively no people living out there.
The bulk of the funding, about $1.5 million, as I understand it, would be turned back for
national
competition,
pool.
National pool. So it would be difficult for us to take advantage of.
And we can only use it here. We can't use the grant money to help offset other people's costs, because there's other people who've had to get sewers placed and didn't have the benefit of such maybe a large chunk of money. And I think it's a little inequitable that this group has to pay maybe higher.
Miller, it has to be Miller Creek.
It was, the money was dedicated for the Miller Creek sewer project.
So it's got to be used.
And it was not fully utilized in the original Miller Creek project. So that's it has to be used for the Miller Creek project.
Yeah. And this is an extension to the Miller Creek project?
It's actually within it.
They're within it. They were brought in at the time of the Bayard expansion.
I don't know. Originally I didn't like it when we started creating these sewer districts out in these rural. This is like the boon. This is the boonies, boys. There's nothing out there to speak of. And you can see how the estuary, just failed and flopped and everything's.
And the estuary project is still moving. We are still seeing components of that coming in. We are still seeing construction drawings going in for approval. It's just not at the rate that,
And what you're asking for today is the ability to have a public meeting?
Yeah, basically just for us to have a public meeting, disclose what we have as far as costs. Impacts that they could be expected as far as
the I just hate to see them, Mike. We go too far forward because everybody's in favor of things as long as it's an entitlement program and it's going to be cheap. When they find out the cost of this and it's spread over these few number of people, it's going to flip. So, have the meeting, but hopefully you've got good numbers that you can show these people,
We will. We have a good count. We have a good count of front footage. We have a good count of existing residents, and we're pretty sure we have good construction.
I'm still trying to work with SRF to do something, but we've kind of we're close.
Very close. Yes.
Very, very close.
Better places.
Yeah, you have a motion.
I have one. If you'd like one,
please, sir.
Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to hold a public meeting to discuss impacts and potential costs for the installation of sanitary sewer system to serve the Tanglewood Oak Acres area in the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District as presented on January 25th, 2011.
We need a motion and a second.
I'll make the motion.
Have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any question on a motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Culp?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes.
Thank you. Motion carried. Thank you. Proposed zoning ordinances, Mr. Moore?
There are none, Mr. President.
There's no business.
May I ask a question at this point, Mr. President?
Yes, ma'am, you may.
Where are we with my nomination to the Board of Adjustment? How far along are we? How much longer do we need to wait?
Well, I am personally waiting on the report back from Mr. Moore and Mr. Burrell from our meeting we had with the Board of Adjustment back in the summer. Mm-hmm. On recommendations, thoughts, whatever to be.
Well, I know since that meeting and looking at the minutes after the meeting, it indicated that legal counsel would work on ways to expedite things that were going on, and mm-hmm. we have brought before the council administrative variances. There's also been ordinances that came up concerning the manufactured housing that would also, according to Mr. Burrell, assist. As a result of, then we will go ahead and put together a report. Mr. Burrell and I are meeting next Wednesday to see if there's going to be any other suggestions from that, and we'll put together a report, which you would have the following Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
And I would assume we would then need to put on the agenda.
That is correct.
A vote for... Right. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But there's nothing in our report that specifically addresses, you know, the vote.
No, issue. I understand that. Right. I don't see what the report is going to be. Right. So we the council will have your report.
It's next Wednesday. I'm meeting with him so we could have it in the packet that Friday.
Mm-hmm. So within the next
couple weeks.
Couple weeks we'll have the report, right. And then we can put on the agenda the reappointments or appointments or whatever of those positions. Okay. That answer your question, ma'am?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. John Walsh.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, a few points to ponder. The discussion that was just made and discussed with by Mr. Moore and by the council president. As a general reminder, that was 7 months ago. And now we're talking about maybe another 30, 40 days. So we'll be dealing with more than 8 months of an acting chair of the Board of Adjustment for whom one person has been nominated, not the current acting chair. We have another individual whose term expired June 30 and continues serving on that board who has not been renominated. In fact, no one has been nominated for that second position. So you have the Board of Adjustment limping along. You have 5 months plus after there was a workshop where all of the members of that board that were present stated that they were not really following the law, be it state law or county code, that they asked for guidance from council, none of which has yet been given. And there's going to be another 30, 40 days before anything happens. Considering that everyone there that were members of that board stated they really weren't sure what their job was, and all of you council members were present and you heard that, my suggestion is if that's the case, after some folks have been on the board for 18 years, there is a problem. And the problem is one of personnel. If they are actually trying to work things out, what would be wrong with County Council requiring the members of the Board of Adjustment, Planning and Zoning, and any other commission be required to attend programs given by the University of Delaware Institute of Public Policy, discussing what various issues of these various boards are, and bringing them up to date with current court cases and current law? I attended one in June. No one from the County Board of Adjustment of Sussex County appeared at that meeting. The only county that was unrepresented.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Shirley Everline? Okay. Roberta Hemrick?
Good morning, everybody. I, too, want to make a few comments on the Board of Adjustments, but this also concerns planning and zoning. Are there any bios available to county residents on members of county boards or commissions? I've searched but have not been able to find any. How can we know whether or not there might be a conflict of interest when no information is available on these folks? It seems to me that this should be public record. I also wanted to have some idea of what transpired since the workshop. You've pretty much answered that question for me. And last but not least, I'd like to know when we can expect some news on the hiring of a county planner.
Thank you. Sandy Spence.
Morning. My name's Sandy Spence. I'm from Lewis, Delaware. First of all, I'd like to say that on behalf of the League of Women Voters, we were very sad to hear of David Baker's retirement. We think that he's done a fabulous job here as our county administrator. We're very proud that he's been serving us for all these years, and we wish him well in his future.
Thanks.
Second, we noticed that you were honoring the emergency medical services, and we thank you very much for that. It's a wonderful service that's very highly needed in the county. In follow-up on Bobby Hemrick's question, I did learn that the job for the county planner has been posted, and we're very pleased to know that. And I understand the deadline is February 3rd. Our concern about it is the salary level. The description requires such qualities as mature judgment, and it does state that the person should be certified by the American Institute of Certified Planners, which we think is very important. However, the salary level is only $34,953. We found on the internet a salary survey conducted by the American Institute of Certified Planners, which is the organization that does certify planners, and they indicated that only 4% of certified planners in the nation have a salary under $40,000, and this is $5,000 less than that. We checked on Kent County and how they do things because they seem to be, you know, close by and reasonably comparable to Sussex, except that our growth is much higher, and so we have more issues for a certified planner to address. However, in Kent County, they have a job description called Planner 2, which is the category for all certified planners. And the salary level for that category is $46,730 to $60,436. They do have a Planner 1 category, which is their entry-level position. And all it requires is a college degree, no experience, no mature judgment, and things of that nature. And even that position offers $42,866 to $55,458. So we would urge you, before you complete this process, to raise the salary level so that we can hope that we'll get a qualified person. We have important issues coming forward very soon, including the next comprehensive plan, and we think it's extremely important to have a very highly qualified person who is certified to be working on that, and we thank you very much.
Thank you.
David, I thought we were in the mid-40 range. We were actually advertised at 34?
34.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is the base salary per the personnel levels and grades. However, based, we would, an offer to a prospective applicant would be based on their experience and qualifications, certification, of course.
So
we have the ability to go considerably higher. Yes.
Does the employment advertising that we're posting explain that what you just did, that $34,000 that's being posted is a base?
I will double check that.
If it isn't, I would suggest we clarify that with some of the language you just used. So anybody reading that and says $34,000, forget it. So we probably are not going to get much of a response if it reads that's the salary level. So I don't know if anybody wants to say anything, but I think we should have a consensus here to be more realistic. This is the base level and explain it and make that part of the ad. Is there any problem with that?
Well, George, you know automatically it's not showed in the advertisement. Say we advertise for $40,000. That's not a true picture, because actually it's 40% above that.
Well, I know. Well,
I mean, the general public here does not understand that, I don't think. So if you're talking 40% on top of $40,000, we're at another $16,000 right on top of it, at least. So that's a $56,000 income.
All I'm just saying is the $34,000.
I mean, if you go to work for the private firm, you don't get those benefits. You would get coming to work for the county.
I was just asking to clarify the $34,000, that's not the pay level we're
at. If I was a planner and I wanted a job, I was out of work, I'd pick up the phone and says, I can do this and that. What are you going to offer me?
Mr. President, I would suggest that this be placed on the agenda.
Sure.
If it's wanted to be discussed further on the agenda,
consensus to clarify with what Dave just said, that what that meant. I just would like to see some additional wording if it's not there. Not asking to change anything, just to clarify. Is there any problem with that, Mr. President?
No, we can
is there consensus
to
possibly ask Mr. Baker to do that?
We can do that.
Thank you.
Okay. I have one more question, Mr.
Yes,
President.
Ma'am.
Where are we with the workshop regarding adequate public facilities, the ordinance? We talked about having a workshop on the adequate public facilities ordinance.
Yes, we did. And the motion that was made, the adequate public facility ordinance, was attached to a request from Councilman Phillips about a cost. Give me the right wording for that. But
And I don't have a problem with a workshop. I mean, it might be a good way to keep...
We have never gotten a cost associated back with that. Was that, mm-hmm. That was a request. So mm-hmm. we can talk about that, certainly.
Okay. We got in our packet, Mr. President, a letter, I believe, from Patty Grimes, chair of the Sussex Economic Development Action Committee. And that committee has been looking at ways to spur our economy here in Sussex County. And they're making some recommendations. If there's no objection, I'd like to ask that it be put on the agenda.
That'd be fine.
Great.
Have anything else? Mr. Cole.
Yeah, I got one other thing that's been working on me a little while, too. And it doesn't have to be anytime soon, Dave, but if you could just plug it in the calendar somewhere. We're talking about some of these workshops and some discussions. I wouldn't mind having on the agenda sometime a discussion about creating an environmentally sensitive district around the Nanticoke watershed, like we have on the coastal side, and bring in some of the stakeholders that might want to discuss it and have a conversation here and just put it on the agenda for discussion and invite some people and our planner, see if we can get our planner down here and give us some ideas of what he would see possibly doing over there. Maybe that would be different or just we're pretty much doing the same thing or whatever, but I think it's a good time to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Any problem with that? I just think it'd be nice to... We have, and the reason is when you look at our agendas now, we've got some time here now. We can look at some of these things. So we can look at it, we can reject it, we can decide to move forward or something like that.
Well, I think any council person has the ability to ask someone on the agenda, so you certainly can request that.
Well, that's just I don't. I'm not trying to draw up any kind of ordinance or anything at this time, Mike. I just want to have our land use consultants come in, and then maybe from somebody from DNR say, but and Mike Izzo, some of our local, different people's conservation district people, and then just if you can contact some of these people, Dave, and maybe ask them if they want to have a meeting somewhere prior before they come here, somebody could put together a program of pros and cons if it's needed, if it's not needed.
Okay.
Why don't you...
Because I've had a number of... Excuse me, I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. I've had a number of people at two commission members from P&Z inquire about it to me, like... I said, you guys, why don't you recommend it? And they go, well, we're waiting for you to do something. And I said, okay, well, I'll see if I can initiate something and put it on the agenda. So if there's no complaints about that, I'll ask Mr. Baker if he could somehow plan something in the next couple months on that issue.
You can get with Councilman Cole and see what he wants to have included. And
sure, my advice is to do it after you've retired. That's my only advice.
Anything else from anybody in council? We'll need a motion to go into executive session for pending and potential litigation.
So moved.
Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We'll go into executive session.